Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Peaceful Growth, a show about learning tools, tips, strategies to grow your business, life, and career without burning out. I'm your host, Anil Gupta, CEO and co-founder of Multidots, Multicolab, and DotStore. Now let's get into today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of Peaceful Growth. My today's guest is founder and CEO of Freemius, Vova Feldman. And Freemius, those who don't know, it powers a lot of our WordPress plugin businesses. And in fact, one of our own product business, DotStore, is also powered by Freemius. When I say powered by, it means they provide a great subscription platform. So basically, you can save tons of time, you know, instead of setting up the whole system by yourself. You can quickly and very easily put your product into a subscription mode. I will have Vova talk a little bit more about what that platform does, but we have been using that for the last 5 years, and I wanted him in this episode to share some of the great insights and the advice for the WordPress product business, and I'm very glad that he's here on the episode today. Hey, Vova, welcome to the show.
Hey, Anil, thanks for having me. Really excited to be here, and I should hire you as a YouTuber to introduce Freemius. Well done.
Thank you. So, well, let's start with your story of Freemius. Like, why and how did you started Freemius?
Yeah, Freemius started as, you know, scratching my own itch. I built a product business. It was actually a SaaS solution. Over the years, I eventually turned it also into WordPress plugin. But as part of the process, I kind of, you know, realized the challenges and the struggles that developers need to go through in order to take a product and commercialize it. I found out that as a developer, as a product creator, it actually usually much more time consuming and complex to figure out the whole kind of commerce side of things, you know, integrate payments, subscriptions, manage users, figure out licensing, marketing, and there's a bunch of additional layers that involve just to be able to sell. And all of those has nothing to do with the product itself. So basically started with a product, commercialize it, realize, oh, the commercial side of things is actually a bigger and more interesting problem, and there's a bigger market, and for me it was more interesting to tackle that, and this is how we started with Freemius.
And how long ago was that?
So actually next year it will be 10 years.
Oh wow, nice.
Yeah, time flies.
Time flies. Yeah, good time flies for sure.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations in advance for your decade long journey. And those who doesn't know about what Freemius does and what it offers and how it helps WordPress plugin businesses, do you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Freemius is a platform that provides the entire commercial infrastructure for selling software. We handle the payments, the subscriptions, the licensing, the updates, and go up to a higher levels of the stack, things that related to marketing. We also act as a merchant of record, meaning we take care of global sales taxes, privacy regulations, and a lot of headaches that you as a product creator or a software company don't really want to deal with. So we basically enable product creators to focus on building features, you know, developing their product, supporting their customers, and also dealing with marketing. So looking at Freemius, we kind of break it down to three main pillars. One is providing the platform itself, making a platform that is, in terms of conversion, the best in the market. And the way we can do that is because everything is built in-house and interconnected. And like what happens that many, you know, product companies, they will take one solution for payments, another solution for something else, another solution for marketing, then there are subscriptions, and they plug it together, and it's up to them to make it all work, you know, nicely. While we provide one cohesive platform that does it all in a very integrated way. The second thing is guidance and education. A sentence that I love saying is, you know, even if I'll give you a Formula 3 racing car, right, which is the fastest in the world, I'm guessing that that's the fastest one, right? But let's say the fastest car in the world, you won't be able to max out its, you know, capabilities, right? Mm. So if I give you, you know, the best platform, you also need someone that will guide you on how to use it and get the most out of your business. So we do a lot of, you know, education, guidance, things related to some of the stuff that we're going to discuss, right? How to price your products, what business model to choose, different like psychology related stuff that related to, you know, buyer's journey, et cetera, et cetera. There are many, many moving parts when it comes to a business. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. But as a developer, you don't necessarily, a product creator, like you wanna, and what you're good at is, you know, creating your product, building those features. We, as part of what we do in addition to the platform, we come up as kind of an extension of your team, and this is how we see ourselves. So we are here to be used at your, you know, disposal to help you maximize your business financial capabilities. This is the second thing, and the third thing that we want to
tackle. Before we move to the third one, I have one question on the second one.
Sure.
I think what you mentioned seems like a great value, especially I have noticed that this as well, that a lot of WordPress plugin businesses are driven by the developers. So it's the, like, developers who had this idea, they built it, but they necessarily doesn't have the right kind of skills, or sometimes not. It's not just the skill, but it's something that they are not also passionate about, like, you know, selling the product or, like, you know, packaging the product in a way so that they can get more distribution. So the value that you mentioned, it seems amazing. My question is, how do you deliver that value? Is it embedded into the product itself, or that's something that, let's say, a consulting piece of becoming a part of a freemium customer or member?
It's a combination of multiple layers. It is part of the product. So, like, you, when you're in the dashboard and you're in the pricing, like, we have some recommendations, links to, you know, content that we've written. So it's a combination of the product itself, combination of content that we share publicly with everyone. In the end, we don't hide those, you know, practices. We want to share them with the world and, you know, empower developers. And the third one is, you know, actually accessing our team, reaching out to support, scheduling time with us. Like, we have a selfish interest to help our partners grow, because our business model is revenue shares, right? Mm-hmm. If we can help you, you know, be more successful, we're helping ourselves. So it's a real partnership. So we have, you know, invested the interest to do that.
Nice, I love that. All right, let's move on to the number three.
Yeah, and the number three, which we're still not there yet, and we're kind of trying to get, is getting to actually, you know, distribution and helping developers. Like, right now, we're not bringing sales to the partners that we work with. It's still up to them to do the marketing. Mm. But there are many ways how we can, you know, get into the distribution play. There are, like, more obvious ways. There are more, you know, interesting. We are still not there, but I hope that we'll get there. And I believe that once we'll provide those three aspects, this is kind of the holy grail of, you know, software creators, because they can really focus, you know, on the core of what they're good at, and we can kind of tackle the entire kind of commercial side of the business.
Makes sense. And how does the pricing work? So let's say I have a WordPress plugin business, not business, like, I just have an idea, I built a plugin, and now I want to start making money from that plugin. So like how does that work in terms of like if I want to be a part of the freemius, then what's the steps, and especially like how the pricing works?
Yeah, so we don't charge anything in advance, and you know, if you have questions, you can always contact our support. We're happy to kind of, you know, help you understand if freemius is a good solution for you or not. I don't think it's a, you know, the right fit for everyone, even though we want to make it the right fit for most. the pricing is generally like 7% revenue share after crossing the $5,000 in lifetime sales. So it's not monthly or something like that. Once you cross that, like you're on 7%. And the reason we have that, those like a little higher fees in the beginning is because we don't charge anything in advance, right? So we're kind of investing in you, and usually the initial support load is higher, integration questions, et cetera, et cetera. We don't charge anything for that. So this is kind of our way to get that, you know, return on investment. And if you're making a lot of money, like we can, you know, discuss about rates review and see, like we want to keep that a win-win, you know, relationship for the long run. We understand that 7% can scale forever, right? If you're making $1 million per month, like we can charge 7%. There needs to be some balance. So we understand that, but generally, you know, most of our partners are on the 7% tier.
Okay. So you, in the beginning, yeah, it makes sense. Like in the beginning, you're trying to help them, you know, building their business, some of the, like the advice piece that you mentioned, and like pricing and packaging and stuff like that. So that's where I think it's 27%, right, for the first 1K, and then it goes to 17%, and then anything after 5K, that will become 7%. But yeah, they don't have to pay any, they don't have to pay anything upfront. And what about the contracts? Like, is there any particular like length of contract that they need to sign, or they need to be exclusive, non-exclusive? They need to be on premiums for a certain time?
No. They just register. They need to agree to our terms of service, which, you know, everything is listed there. Like there are some things that, you know, they can't sell illegal software, of course, and like everything needs to be legal. But yeah, as long as they follow the terms of service, they should be good. We do have systems in place to identify fraud and, you know, some quirky stuff. But generally, you know, it's a self-serve platform and anyone can start using that. And the pricing advice and business model, it's not only in the beginning. You know, we're happy to do that at any point in time. We're not pushing it. You know, if we do see opportunities based on some data analysis, we'll proactively reach out and say, hey, you know, we see that you may want to try to do this, right? Because we think this will help you, whatever, right? But, you know, also to be honest, we're so busy with so many things that, like, we need you to reach out to us and ask for help and be specific. And we love to do that, because if there's opportunity, like I said, to help you grow many times, you know, what will make the difference in your business is not building another feature. It's not about, you know, it's more about changing the price or the package or, you know, highlighting something in the landing page. Those are the things that usually make much more difference to the bottom line than, you know, more features, changing features or whatever, the technicality stuff. And of course, I'm talking after product market fit, okay? Not like if it's like brand new product, this is something else.
All right. So let's talk about what are some of the new features that you are building on, which doesn't exist at this moment, but something that you are excited about building and offering to the existing and new customers of the freemius.
Yeah, so one thing that we're working on right now pretty actively is we are revamping our checkout. Like the experience that we built was fresh and modern, you know, when we built it, but it's been a few years.
Yeah.
And we, you know, technologies move forward and the UI have changed. So we're actively changing that. It will be a few phases. Actually, phase one is supposed to be launched this Monday. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, nice.
But it's going to be much more, phase two will be much more flexible, much more advanced, more converting, more friendly, and many good things. So we're really excited about that. Even though it's not like something new, but I feel that the way we design the checkout, it will significantly help increase the average sell price because of how we made like order bumps and like small details that were more hidden in the previous checkout, I would say. Another thing that I hope we'll release early next year is an affiliate network. You know, we provide as part of a solution an affiliate program to, you know, developers that want to start one. But since we're a SaaS solution, we see all the, you know, all the affiliates that sign up to all the different products. So we have many affiliates on the platform and many products. There is no reason not to connect them, right? So if there are affiliates that want, you know, they're looking for additional products they want to promote, they will have a way to like discover in a library what products have affiliate programs, etc. On the other hand, product owners who would want to invite specific affiliates, they will have like a discovery of affiliates who are open to business, right? We do have some like nuances on how we're going to implement that smart, because let's say more successful affiliates, they don't want just to open their mailbox to everyone. They want to work with, you know, products that make above certain threshold, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to put the right mechanics in place. So those are big things. We're also revamping entirely our blog. It's a big piece in the Freemius puzzle. A lot of product creators are following the blog and the content that we produce. We have a new, you know, design that is more friendly. It's also turning more into a content hub that will kind of aggregate topics. And right now you land on a blog post and it's kind of, or on the homepage, and you just see a collection of, you know, content. We're going to turn that more into like a place where you can acquire new skills, you know, by following categories, let's say pricing, because we discussed that. So you can kind of master different business capabilities, because we have a lot of content around those topics. Another, like, I can go ahead and tell me when to stop, because
well,
we're working on many things.
Yeah, no, I love that all the upcoming changes that you mentioned, and especially we as a customer and the user of Freemius, you know, so I also had a chance to interact with the whole experience, the backend side of that, the front-end side of the Freemius platform. And a couple of things that you shared, in fact, those were something that I was also had on my list, like, all right, I want to share and see some of those changes in the future version of the Freemius, especially the checkout that you mentioned. You know, I feel like, yeah, the checkout currently is very simple, and which is great, you know, great for the users and the customers. But I feel like, you know, it needs a little bit more modern touch, and which you, as you mentioned, that you guys are already working on. Another thing that I wanted to see, you know, in the future version of the Freemius, whenever it fits into your roadmap, but some level of customization maybe in the checkout experience. I feel like there are like a couple of, for example, the emails, you know, so the emails that goes to the customer. So there is very little we can do on editing some of those content. So things like that, you know, like maybe some options to edit and customize some of that workflow. But again, it's kind of like debatable, because I understand that your goal is to keep it simple, you know, keep it simple for the end user, so we don't unnecessarily provide to like overwhelm them with too many customizations and like, you know, too custom workflow. But also on the other side, like finding that balance of if we can have some of those customizations for the plugin developers.
I absolutely agree with you. We always listen, you know, to our partners. Like the checkout was something that we're repetitively hear about, and this is why we, you know, we're prioritizing this. Also, the ability to customize the emails is something that we're hearing. And I can tell you that, well, you're right that we want to keep it simple. But as we have like more mature partners that are, you know, more time in business, have more customization requests and custom needs, we gradually adding more features that will help that audience grow. You know, like we also started in the beginning with like smaller sellers, because it takes time until you build credibility and people start using you, etc. So naturally we developed the capabilities that the audience that been using us needed. But as it grows, we also, you know, advance the capabilities that we have. Like previously we didn't have an option to customize the email styling. Right. Now we do offer that. You can add your logo, et cetera, et cetera. It took a few years until we got to that. Another thing, probably the biggest for next year that I didn't mention is like you can already use freemiums to sell any type of software that you want. But since we started with at the core with plugins, we do support other, you know, theme, static software, et cetera. I would say that the packaging of freemiums and the experience is very wrapped around like WordPress, the terminology of WordPress and things like that. But we do want to, you know, expand to the SaaS market and start working with being more API driven kind of solution, I would say. Okay. Like we do, so like doing proper API documentation, something that we don't have right now. We do have some API documentation, but we neglected that because most of our partners use the SDK. So like next year, a big chunk of our work will go on providing freemiums for SaaS, a package that is dedicated for SaaS. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to see how it will fly.
Nice. Yeah, me too. So Vova, let's move on to talk about how big is the freemiums as a business. So if you can tell maybe number of plugins which are powered by plugin businesses, which are powered by freemiums, your team size, and like maybe the volume of the transactions that happens on through the freemiums platform, any data or number that will help us to understand the size and the growth of freemiums as a business.
Yeah, so I will share very few numbers.
Okay.
This is something that like we are not sharing. We are right now 16 team members, and hopefully in the next few weeks we'll grow to around 18.
Okay.
We are in the four figures in terms of the number of sellers active on the platform. On average, we have 1.5. Today, it's probably more because that was last year when I did the year in review.
Okay.
Around, let's say, two products that are making their first sale every day on freemiums. So there is a good growth. I always wanted to be bigger. On one hand, we're trying to keep the team as slim as possible because I like the flat organization and, you know, moving fast and all of that. And I'm kind of slightly shifting to hiring here. On the other hand, I do want to grow, and like my role, I would say in the last 2 years, maybe even more, was to find, you know, talent that will be my kind of leadership team. And this is what I'm working on. Taking off hats, you know, this is the way to grow, because I realized I was stuck in the 10 to 12 people for a few years because it was kind of on me. I was trying to like keep being the manager, and it's impossible, you know. I was stuck there, and I realized that I have to bring people that will help me to scale the company. So this is, you know, what I'm it's part of the things that I'm dealing with right now.
Makes sense. We'll come back to managing the growth and what are some of your strategies that work, that didn't work, in order to scale the business and the scaling in a way so that it's not stressful. You know, I tell a lot of time my team that there are two kind of scale. You know, one actually which brings more stress, and the one it is something that less stressful. I was like, I want to scale and grow, but let's find the ways which are less stressful, because the stress is not sustainable. You know, any scale which the primary driver is a lot of stress, that is not going to be sustainable. But before we go there, one last question I wanted to ask related to the freemiums, and then we will talk a little bit about some of your observations and experience and insights, just general, that can be helpful for the WordPress plugin businesses. So the question is, as I mentioned, like .store, our business itself is one of the customer of the freemiums. Can you share maybe any other big plugin names or popular plugin names that are also powered by freemiums?
Yeah, sure. So on the plugin side of things, we recently got TablePress using freemiums. We have an optimization plugin called Auto Optimize that it's pretty popular. We have from themes, we have guys like Bloxy, which is pretty trending theme. Ocean WP is using freemiums.
Okay.
And there are many more. Yeah.
No, those are really big names, some of the popular one too. Great.
Okay, guys. So if you're interested to check out how Multicollab works and how Multicollab can solve your problems or improve your content publishing workflow, you can go to our website and click on the Try Demo tab in the menu section. Then simply fill out your details, and there you go. Now you have access to the demo environment where you can test all the amazing features that Multicollab has to offer.
All right. Well, so let's finally switch the gears. And I wanted to ask about, in general, that if you look into a WordPress product business, you know, so one big question and challenge that a lot of WordPress plugin developers and product owners has is how to price, what's the right price for their plugin? Because there are so many varieties, you know, all the way from $20 to $2,000, you will see a very wide spectrum of pricing. And especially as you are enabling this platform where, you know, the subscriptions and bunch of different plugins and transactions happens into you, what are some of your insights or advice that will help be helpful in regards to pricing a plugin business?
Yeah. So I will share probably some trends that, you know, I observed over the years, and also because we are getting like requests from partners, hey, look at our pricing, like help us. I can kind of share how I'm helping, you know, developers to figure out their pricing. So in terms of trends, I would say there are different price points when it comes to selling from marketplaces versus selling from your own shop. Usually prices on marketplaces are lower, and the explanation is because you have competing solutions in the click of a button, right? People are searching for something, they're seeing a list of, you know, products, so you wanna stand out sometimes with the price, because if someone charging, I don't know, X amount of dollars, if you'll charge 3X on the same place on the same list, like the chance that someone will look at your, you know, item is, so there is this kind of natural race to the bottom when you look on marketplaces. Prices on when you sell from your own store are typically higher. From our observation, most of the market moved to subscriptions already, at least the Western world. I am still seeing plugin theme shops or individuals, you know, from Asia that got stuck on kind of one-off sales and selling. They kind of adopted the prices from the marketplace, but they're selling from their own store. They're like not up to date of what's happening. Okay. And you see they're selling something for $20, like a piece of software. And this prices maybe, you know, in the Asian market, like $20 is a lot of money. But when you look on the Western market, like when I'm seeing something for $20 for life, it's suspicious because as someone who is, you know, familiar with kind of buying products in the WordPress ecosystem, I will feel something is fishy here, right? So I would say when you're selling in general from your own end, our recommendation is to price it at least as $30 per year. That's the minimum price that we recommend to go with. Like I said, most of the market did adopt the annual model. Not everyone moved to like subscriptions that automatically renew. Some people are still stuck in the manual renewals, but that's typically what I'm seeing. Most companies dropped the renewal discounts. So this is already like behind us and history for most companies, which I feel is good. For some products, it's still relevant, but for most, it's not. I would say that the average...
What about the renewal discount? What do you mean by the dropping the renewal discount?
That there's no... They don't offer a discount
anymore. Mm, earlier, they used to offer the discount. When
earlier, most of the market didn't have actual subscriptions. It was, you know, you get 1 year of support and updates, and then if you want more, you need to go and pay again, like manually renew it. So you had to kind of convince people to click that link, you know, take their credit card again and do that, go through that process again. So you wanted to give them something to incentivize them to keep paying.
Okay.
When you have subscriptions that automatically renew, it doesn't make sense to, again, for most products to because it's just happening, you know. You don't need to convince anything. If the person want to cancel, they will cancel anyway, whether you offer 20% or 30% discount or not, because they want to cancel.
Yeah.
So that's not what actually makes the difference. And most of the buyers in the industry are businesses, right? So for them, whether it's, I don't know, $60 renewals or $30 renewal, like if you spread it to a year, it's meaningless. You know, it's no money. So I think that's a good shift that happened in the ecosystem. I would say that kind of just a number that I'm throwing in the air, let's say an average number price point for plugins is around $50 per year right now. This is what I'm seeing.
Okay.
In the WooCommerce space or the e-commerce, like extensions for something that helps people make money, it's around $80, like $79. So it's like $49 and $79 for e-commerce related stuff per year. Those are the kind of what I'm seeing. There are obviously more expensive extensions. So this is some trends that I'm seeing.
Okay.
But when I approach, you know, helping people with pricing, I'm asking them to, first of all, understand who is their target audience, right? What is the value that the product is bringing to them, and how much competition do they have? Those are, I would say, the three main criteria that will determine how to price a product. If you don't have competition, for the sake of the just extreme example at all, and your product help the person make money, then, you know, you're the monopoly. You can charge more, significantly more. If you have a lot of competition and not a lot of value on top of your competitors, then you do need to compete on price, and you can't ignore the market, you know, prices. So you would need to be in the benchmark of what's happening. And usually you need to kind of...
One question I have there is... do you know the pricing of our Multicollab plugin? Do you have any idea about that?
I think it's pretty high. You are targeting agencies, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I don't remember the numbers, but I just remember that it was good numbers. That's what I remember.
All right. So let's do that. Let's apply that to that. So as you like vaguely remember, vaguely know the price. Let's try to see, for example, the questions that you asked, right? The first question was one of the questions was that, is there a competition? So for Multicollab at this moment, we don't have a competition, you know, who does what we do, like Google Docs style collaboration. But yes, eventually it will come up as one of the default feature on WordPress core as a part of the phase 3. Again, it's still debatable how many features they're going to build compared to what we have. But competition wise, at this moment, I can comfortably say like we have a no competition. So that's that. And what were the other two things? I'm just trying to apply some of those things.
By the way, I would argue that Google Docs is your competition.
Google Docs is not. Yeah, it is not. It is. We compare that with the Google Docs. We tell them that it's Google Docs style collaboration. You know, so we try to bring. We know like Google Docs has a very certain application and the use case. But yeah, I think bringing something Google Docs style in the WordPress, it has like a different value. So yeah, in terms of the competition, no competition. In terms of the it doesn't actually help make you money, you know, so it's not related to, it actually helps you save time and a better experience, you know, so save times and eliminate error. That's what I think two values that I see, because yep. Copy and pasting from Google Doc for the large team when they collaborate, I think it will be a very time consuming. And also in the copy and pasting, they will also make some mistakes. So time saving and eliminating error, that's kind of like value that is proposed. What do you think should be the right pricing for the plugin like this?
So let's say we're having those email conversation right now, and you, okay. This is what was your answer. So I'll tell you, can you quantify in your target audience how many hours will you save to writers, to an average client?
So we did a little experiment. What we did is like we tried to publish one post using Google Doc and WordPress, so copy and pasting and formatting and some of the stuff. And then we did the same thing with the, let's say, using Multicollab, not using Google Doc, but doing everything in Multicollab. And we have a video on our website. But what we saw, like it was like 42% time saving. So overall, let's say if take 8 minutes or 10 minutes to draft the whole post on Google Doc and copy and pasting, this you can do, let's say, you can save 42% time. So if you're, let's say, spending writing and publishing 10 hours a week, it will help you save 5 hours or more than 5 hours.
Excellent. So now you can extrapolate that, right, on what it means to an agency for an annual, for a year, right? How many hours they're saving. Let's say it's a very big number and you don't have competition. So you can charge pretty high number and still showcase that in your marketing material, right? Okay. Hey, save, like if I were in your shoes, right, I would have a little scroll bar on the pricing page that says, I don't know, how many writers, editors you have, right? Mm-hmm. How much time they're spending, and say, okay, some calculator with maybe their annual, their hourly price, mm-hmm. right? And say you're saving 42% and see how much time they can save.
I love that. Well, yeah, I'm going to implement that. I like the little calculator thing that you mentioned. We have a video, but I think, yeah, the calculator on the pricing page seems...
People need to see, you know, either how much... In the end, it's money, right? You need to... Yeah. The ROI, understand, I'm investing this. This is what I get back. So yeah. If you can show that and quantifying that is the best thing. In your case, it is possible. In some cases, it's harder to quantify that.
Yeah.
But like moving a little to like a marketing transition here, but I will do case studies. Mm. Like you have customers and agencies that you are working with, right? See how much time it saved them and write like case study. Oh, it saved me X amount of time. This is, and you can use that as your weapon. Right, to increase the chance that people will convert and become customers. And maybe you will find out that actually you can charge even more for your product.
All right. So now I'll share the price that we have right now. And then you can share whether that's the right price or it's it should be a little bit higher or a little bit lower. So our price currently is $499 for a yearly subscription of Multicollab.
Is this is like for like one website, for one, like what are the restrictions for that?
Yeah, so it's one site, one main website, and four staging and production websites. So we basically give five licenses, but one for the main website and the four for the staging and production.
Yeah, I think, you know, I can't really tell you right or wrong here. It feels good, right? Like you're making money, so you have customers, but you're probably, by definition of the pricing, filtering and targeting a specific size of, you know, customers that have enough writers, content, production of content, that for them it makes sense to actually invest that amount in order to get that investment back. And I think it's great, you know, because you're, it sounds like you're targeting people with a budget, right? So you're also getting good clients, and good clients are the best.
Yeah, we're definitely getting good clients. Yeah, for sure. And that,
the more you charge, you get better clients.
Yeah,
you won't get as many, but you're getting better clients. So it's up to you, you know, how to shift, and maybe you can think of additional packages that maybe won't include. Just a second, my cat is about to hit the exit button here. He's really going all over this. Just, here he is. Okay. So I'm saying maybe you can also think of how to offer additional packages that will be more affordable, you know, for lower tiers or maybe higher tiers that whatever. You know, if it was SaaS, right, you could have charged, like align it clearer per the value, let's say, I don't know, the number of seats or something like that, which is easier tied to kind of how much money the company can save. So it makes sense, you know?
Thank you. Yeah. No, and I love that doing this also on a live so people can see, the listener especially, they can see that how your experience in this field, where you already have on your platform so many plugins who are selling it and the pricing. So you kind of have that metrics and data to see what's working, what's not working. And some of the stuff that you share about the average e-commerce, like a money-based plugin, their value plus like just the value or productivity or time saving, you know. So I think those are the insights that will be very helpful. Thanks for sharing that, Vova. And now my next question.
I want to share one more tip, if you don't mind.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I think it's a good, if we're talking about, you know, WordPress plugins, if you're coming just with a plugin that does something, whatever, then you will need to convince people to, like, you're targeting an audience that not necessarily have money to pay. Something that I observed that sometimes happening is that developers are building extensions on top of an existing product that are paid only. And I think this is good strategy because you're targeting an audience that is already qualified to pay money for products, because you know that they paid for whatever is the product that you're extending.
Right.
So if your product brings value and they will be interested, it's already a qualified audience that's willing to spend on plugins. So that's another tip that I can give. And another thing that I want to mention is that, yes, there are things that are wrong in pricing, but you know, we did this kind of discussion, which was really fun, and thanks for bringing that. We should, I will talk with my head of video that we should do this live on our YouTube with Otter.
I think
it's good content. What I want to say is that, like, there is no like perfect pricing, and you need to constantly experiment and try additional things. I'm seeing that people get stuck on prices and get with the same prices for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. You don't change it. Like, you need to experiment, because you can't really know if you don't experiment. And I know there is this fear of not getting people upset, you know, but, you know, if you want to reduce prices, but they just purchase it in like higher price, it feels unfair. But there are ways how to mitigate that. We have strategies how to do that, that actually will put you in a position like on the opposite, that you will be a hero rather than the villain. Or people afraid to increase prices, like all of that can be mitigated with the right communications. Right. It's a lot about how you message those changes to your audience. And as long as you're grandfathering your existing audience, you are not hurting anyone. So I do want to encourage product creators that, you know, those who are listening and stuck on the same price for 5 years, you know, before COVID, it's about time to wake up and make your prices and try something else, especially if you want to grow. So don't get stuck, because in the end, it's a lot of like gut feelings, intuition based on data and thinking and logic, but you have to test it out to see if it works.
Yeah. No, I think that's a very great and big piece of advice, Vova, in terms of experimenting with the pricing. And I have observed that in my 15 years of entrepreneurship and doing three different types of businesses, you know, the product and agency, that, yes, pricing actually played a very big role in terms of our growth. And, you know, it's not always about more clients, more business, you know, but it's also about how you actually strategize and experiment with the pricing. And what you mentioned is also very true, that there is no right answers here, you know, because your value is different, your customer base is different, the reason your customers are hiring you or buying your product, you know, their motivations will be different. So it's very important to kind of like experiment with the price. And one thing that I have seen that worked a lot is one, like, you know, I constantly like talk to in the community, like people like you and other product owners, like, hey, you know what, how do you kind of like strategize, do the pricing? So that kind of like gives you an idea about how other people approach the pricing. But the second thing that I do, and which is, I think, you know, it's 80% of the results and 80% of my experiments are around, which are asking the existing customer, because they are the person who actually knows, you know, what, why they're buying your plugin, what plugin or why they're hiring you, and what kind of pricing that that's something that they feel comfortable. So there are a bunch of different, I think there is one book, I forgot the name, but I'll put it into the show note, that helped me a lot in order to do this pricing research. So I constantly and continuously connect with the existing customers or potential customers and kind of like continue to get some of those clues and the signals about the pricing, like what kind of pricing price point they feel comfortable with.
Yep. And I think, you know, when we're helping with developers to work on pricing, like the expectation maybe in the beginning is that, hey, freemiums will help me to choose prices. But what we actually do is giving them, you know, the fishing pole, not the fish, like explaining them how to think about pricing, what question to ask yourself in order to think, you know, where is your range and how to tackle it. We can also give you concrete numbers, because we have a lot of experience and intuition. There's a lot of like little tricks of, you know, how much you price one side versus three sides versus whatever, like different things that just from a pricing psychology and anchoring and all this stuff that are, they're just working, you know? So we can also do that, but I think the power is to actually understanding how you should approach pricing. And this is what we do through those different questions.
Makes sense. So Vova, we talked a lot about growth and tips and like all the stuff. Now let's go back to how you balance this growth, you know. So this is kind of like the peaceful aspect of this podcast, where I also want to hear from you in regards to running the business. And you mentioned that you've been doing for the last 10 years. You have a team of, you said 16 to 18, right, at this moment. So considering all of that, like what are how does your routine looks like in order to balance this? And you also mentioned that you have a 9-month old, you know, so there are like a lot of things there. So yeah, if you have any, in fact, let me frame my question this way. Like, if there is any aspect of your routine, daily routine, that you think is you designed in a way so that you can balance everything, I would be very grateful if you share that. And the second thing is just general, any tips or hacks or strategies that you have to kind of like balance the growth to maintain like work-life balance.
Yeah, so I actually went through like a personal growth journey a few years ago because I had a lot of anxiety and pressure and not burnout because I love what I do with Freemius. And I think that's the key to avoid burnout, to be passionate about the problem that you're solving. And as long as you enjoy the challenges, you need to wire your brain to enjoy the challenges because that's the basis of entrepreneurship, you know?
Yeah.
So I was in this position that I wouldn't say depression, it's not the right word, but I had a lot of anxiety. I couldn't stop thinking about the business. Like I didn't have that separation, you know, there was no end to work. Because I also worked from home for many years, more than 10 years already, even before Freemius. So I was going to the living room and even sitting with my wife and watching Netflix, but the brain is, we need to do this. We're not fast enough. We're like always, you want to do more, want to do faster. And there's always more work than what you can actually do. It doesn't matter how many resources you have because you'll find more of that. So I started to watch a lot of videos of different, you know, coaches and Tony Robbins and all this like gurus, and kind of collected the snippets, tried different things that worked for me. And I actually have a very detailed blog post that I've written exactly what I'm doing on a daily basis on the Freemius blog. Like, we can maybe link to that later.
Yeah, that'll be great.
I think there were several key aspects of that. First of all is uninstalling socials from my mobile. It's very tactical, but I realized that I was wasting a lot of time on Facebook and on Instagram and all these reels that, you know, you start a funny video and then you end up half an hour just watching those videos, and just it's fun, but it's nothing, you know. So I uninstalled apps from my phone. This was one thing. The second thing is something that I took from Neil Eyal, who is like a guru in time management and things like that, is avoiding distractions. He has a book that calls something indestructible. I don't remember exactly the name. But the idea is that make sure that whatever you plan is get executed. And the way you do that is you don't just follow a to-do list, but you actually put things on the calendar. And you don't allow distractions on the way, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, there are things that are unplanned. And maybe you do want to, you know, detox your brain with some social, just, you know, watch stupid things, but put it on the calendar so it constrained in some that you have control of your time and not external, you know, signals getting control of you. And this is what usually happens, you know, you if you don't do this stuff, you plan something, you start the day, then you get this email, and then, oh, I just want to reply this. Then there is some notification, you take a look, oh, this WhatsApp message, and you end up the day and you didn't achieve shit from what you planned, you know. And this is where you get depressed, not depressed, maybe that's upset, I would say upset, because you plan and you didn't achieve your whatever you planned. And what makes us feel good about ourselves is the feeling of achievement that, you know, I'm on track, what I'm planning is happening, you know, I'm in control of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I think trying to reduce distractions as much as possible and not being there in real time for anyone that wants, because the phone is really big enemy to productivity. So that was another big thing. The next thing is I started to use the 5-Minute Journal app.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard about that. It's kind of a combo of planning and mindfulness. So in order to improve my sleeping, as part of that anxiety, I was also, you know, when you're thinking on business all the time and problems, you go to sleep and it's hard to sleep. Your brain is there. It keeps working. Mm-hmm. And sleep is critical for life, probably the most important thing to be in good shape. So this app is pretty simple, something that I learned from Tim Ferriss, who is, you know, a known guy. Yeah. And he uses it. So in the morning, you wake.
Physical journal, or you use it?
Yeah, put
it
in I use the app, but there is a physical too. I like the app because you can also snap photos. Hmm. So I try to have a photo every day of like a highlight, something, you know, positive, memorable. The baby is there already. Nice. Anyway, in the morning, you simply. There are three things that you write that you're grateful for, right? And it takes time to practice to learn how to do that. And you do it first thing, like no social, no crap, no emails. You start the day with that, like three things that you're grateful for. Three things that, this is the way it kind of phrased, three things that would be great to achieve today, something like that. So not necessarily like work, it can be work, life, like personal things, and one affirmation, something good about yourself. And then in the evening, you say what were the highlights of the day, kind of your accomplishments, and one thing that you learned today that you can do, you know, better later on. And I think this really helped me to become a more positive person. Because like every day you are reminding yourself simple things that you take for granted. You know, the fact that I have, I don't know, running water, heating, modern medicine, whatever. It's like we take this for granted. But sometimes you watch news and see that some people in the world don't have that. Mm. Right. And I should be grateful for all this stuff. I'm living in the era of AI. I'm living in the era of the internet. I'm like, there are so many amazing things that we take for granted. So it kind of helps to wire your brain into more positivity and looking on the bright things in life, rather, I need to do more work.
Yeah.
And one last thing, I'm kind of giving you the overview, is previously I was more about the milestones. You know, that was like the dopamine was getting in when you get to the milestone. And the problem when you don't run a journey, like you don't really see the progress on a daily basis because you're just running until something big happens. And then you get like, okay, you know, we released a new version of something, a new feature. You're excited for 5 minutes and it's done.
Mm.
There are a bunch of people who talk about like neuroscience and things like that. And what they say basically is, we need to try to rewire our brain to get the dopamine and satisfaction from the progress rather from the milestone. And when you run a journey, like all these things are connected to me together. When you run a journey, you can see the progress on a daily basis. Even if it's small building blocks, it's still in the right direction. It's still achievements. And when you achieve what you plan to achieve, because you're trying to be indestructible, right, you get that satisfaction. So if I combine all of this, it made me more kind of calm. I see that I'm actually progressing. It also helped me to get better, to actually, you know, plan and achieve what I'm planning, because in the beginning I was over planning. I was saying, I want to do this and that. And over time I realized that it's impossible. So my planning became more realistic. And today when I end the day, usually I complete most of the things that I plan. I will add a disclaimer, and it feels really good that you go to sleep and everything that I plan, I managed to commit to that. So it feels really good. So a little disclaimer now, you know, with the baby and everything, there are so many unexpected things. So these days I'm actually, you know, I changed my kind of planning to, you know, have a great day pretty much with Adam, and everything else is a bonus. Like I took it. Otherwise, yeah, it just makes you upset because, I mean, right now it's more stable, but there are periods when it's very unexpected. But I think that kind of, it was a privilege to go through the journey and have the ability to spend so much time on watching all this stuff, learning. But it made me much more kind of, you know, relaxed, happy person. When I finish work, I finish work. I don't think about it. I mean, and maybe sometimes, whatever, but it's not in the level of, like, I had pains in the chest, you know, previously, that I was so, oh, we're not fast enough, we're not moving. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, those were like so many different wisdoms that you shared, Vovai. And I think everything that you touched on, from calendar to journaling to just like, you know, thinking about the difference between the journey and the milestone, the progress and the milestone, I think those are all something that one or other way, you know, I have like a different version of that, but I have applied, not applied, but I have experienced all of that as one of one of the values for my personal peaceful growth, you know. So especially talking about the calendar, I recently had a discussion with one of my team member, you know, when we both were like trying to like assign some of the tasks to him, and he was like, oh, I don't have a time, you know, I was busy, you know, I'll do it when I have a time. I was like, my first question that I asked him, like, okay, did you put that into a calendar, the task that we were working on? And he was like, no, you know. So that's where we kind of like a very interesting discussion. I told him, like, look, when we don't put things on our calendar, like, you know, when if you do you have an hour slot in your calendar that you, that you, where you could have put this task? And he told me that I had a space. So I was like, then why you didn't put it in the calendar, you know? And so then we kind of like find a very interesting realization. I was like, look, the problem is that it's not that you don't have a time. You don't have right inspiration and motivation to do that task, you know, because that's what the calendar helps me do. If my calendar is pretty much like empty, you know, like I have plenty of empty blocks and I'm still not able to get things done, that means it's not the priority issue, it's motivation issue, you know. And if my calendar is completely full, I don't have any room to put any other task, then it's priority issues, you know. So it's like, it's very, because we always tell ourselves that, oh, I'm busy, you know, I don't have a time. But sometimes it's very important to understand whether it's a time or the motivation, because they both are a very different problem, you know.
Right.
If you don't have any empty block in your calendar, then you have a priority issue. Like, you need to prioritize what is important and find the space to put whatever the task that you are failing at, you know, put it into the priority. And if you have a lot of empty slots in your calendar and you're still not able to get it done, then there is a motivation issue. Then find like why this task is not excited. And then maybe the solution is not to find the time. Solution is to find the person who can get these things done instead of you. Because it doesn't matter, even if you have the whole day available, you will still not feel excited or passionate about doing this task because it's a motivation issue, you know? So yeah, so it's like, it's very true, like in how in a subtle and small way, these kind of little things, you know, that actually creates this big difference in a difference and impact in terms of being more productive, peaceful, and happy in general in work and life.
Yeah, I would also add that having great team is also helpful, you know. So when I went through more anxiety, like we're smaller, I had many more things on my shoulders directly. Right. Yeah. So it adds more pressure that it's like me specifically. So, of course, growing the team and having people that you can trust, that are, you know, talented, that they're better than you and whatever they're doing, it's also a relief, you know, because, you know, there is someone there that it's not only on me, you know. So that is also obviously helped.
Of course. Yeah. And yeah, like entrepreneurship is not a solo sport, it's a team sport, you know. So like that's something that we as an entrepreneur, we need to understand that, like, it's not, we are not playing chess, you know, it's not just me who's playing, you know, it's more like a football or soccer where we are playing in a team, you know. So I think that kind of like shift is very important, that a lot of time I've in the beginning, I had that mindset, like, I have to do everything and I'm the only person who should be doing all of this, or I'm the only person who can do all of this. But time and time again, you know, that myth had proven me wrong. And I'm glad that, you know, somebody actually showed me a mirror, because now at this moment, yeah, I have 120 people in my company, and I think seven to eight people are like, you know, my direct report, you know, so who reports to me. And there are so many different things that I had this strong belief that only I can do, you know, 100%. And I learned recently that 80% done by someone else is freaking awesome than you do it, you know. So
absolutely. If you can bring even two people that can do one you in that role, that's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
I actually have an interesting, you know, anecdote about that.
Okay.
When I was around, like when we were around, I don't know, 10, maybe 8 team members, I have a friend who was in the 20 team members. And for me, that was a big gap. And I'm like, hey, what do you do every day? Like, you have so many team members, right? And he told me, my goal is to basically figure out how do I do less.
Mm.
All the time. This is my role, right? Mm. Finding how I can work less, you know? Mm. It sounds kind of bad if you process, but this is what, you know, growth and CEO should do.
Yeah.
You need to figure out, you know, build processes, pass it to people that are better. And, you know, it's like in the beginning when you're starting as an entrepreneur, you know, you wear everything. You're like doing everything yourself. But you can't be great in everything. You know, you are specialized, let's say you're a developer in coding, not in all the other million things. So, but you learn all the way. You get good at it if you're a talented person. And you have that feeling that, like you said, I'm better than everyone. I know the product better than everyone. I build it. It's me. It's all of that. But there are better people than you in all those other things. And if you are able to hire them, requires the budget, right? Great people cost money, but if you can get them, it will do good for you. So
yeah, and also on that, like as an entrepreneur, you know, our goal should be that, I want to be in the meeting. You know, that's, let's say, step one, where usually we kind of like try to be a participant in the meeting. Then I want to lead the meeting. That's the next step. You know, and then the third step, that's where the true entrepreneurship can, like, you can skip the meeting. You know, I don't need to be in the meeting. So that should be the ultimate goal. You know, that's where I think the delegation and creating the right team comes into the picture. We always think like, if I lead the meeting, then I'm the leader. No, if you can skip the meeting at all, where you don't need to be in the meeting, that's where you become a true leader. And that's my goal. Like, you know, that's what my goal in this year. Like, I'm trying to kind of like, create the team and the structure and the culture in a way so I don't need to be in the meeting at all.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, great. All right. Well, so we talked a lot of great stuff and a lot of great business advice, plus also how to balance the growth and the peace aspect of it, and everything that you have shared. Yeah, it's very, very valuable. Some of the ideas were super unique to me. I'm very, very thankful and for you to be so generous today, sharing your time and sharing all those great pieces of wisdom. Is there anything else that you wanted to add up before we bring it to the closer?
Appreciate the opportunity. I really enjoyed the conversation. Compliment to you that I watched the initial episodes of, you know, your journey, and like, it's clear that you went through a journey as being, you know, an interviewer, and you're doing a really good job. If anyone wanna, you know, chat with me, I'm pretty open. I'm on Twitter, I'm Vova Feldman, and you can find me on social. I'm all over. I'm available. Happy to chat about all these topics. Throwing something in the air, we also have a podcast called Plugin FM, which we actually launched this year. Also interviewing, it's focused on software product creators. And it's all about, you know, taking specific topic and bringing a person that went through some unique experience and expert in that topic, and they're sharing and providing actionable tips, something that software creators can implement in their journey. Season two is coming soon. I'm just plugging it in. I hope you don't mind.
No, of course not. In fact, I actually listened to three or four episodes of Plugin.fm podcast and just learned from some of the other entrepreneurs who also have grown their product and plugin business. So it's definitely a great podcast, and we will put it into the show notes so people can easily find it.
Awesome. We have great guests for season two. We have Matt Mullenweg, we have Rand Fishkin,
wow.
We have Yoast, we have some big names. So
nice.
Looking forward.
Me too. Yeah, I'm also looking forward to some of those episodes that you mentioned. And last thing I would say that I have pretty much seen that you are in all the WordCamps. Like, you know, if there wasn't a single WordCamp that I mean, maybe one or two, but pretty much like I have noticed that you have a very big, loud, and like a, you know, the
it's illusion. Presence. It's an illusion.
I've seen you a lot of different places. So yeah, like that's, I think, a great way to connect with you if people are already in some of the WordCamps, any WordCamps that you're planning in 2024.
Yeah, so I'll be in Taiwan, in WordCamp Asia, probably in Europe too, and probably in US. So I'm going
on all the WordCamps.
not all of them on the big ones. There was a period when I was living in the US for a few years, and I was more active in going to Miami and New York and all those, Toronto, to more WordCamps. Right now, honestly, it's a little tougher with the baby. My wife is not very happy about me going to work in Asia. It's also the birthday of my son. But, you know, it's business. You need to sacrifice a little, and the baby won't really remember. But I'll bring a nice present and hope I'll be good.
Yeah, I think I'm sure we'll get a lot of cool swags as well from the WordCamp Asia. Great. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate everything that you have shared today. And to all of the listeners, this is almost end of the 2023 when we are recording this episode. And one thing I really want all of you to think about, what Voa mentioned, it is about the difference between the journey and the destiny. You know, so when you make your journey your destiny, you will become unstoppable. And especially when you are planning 2024, setting some goals, you know, and some resolutions, think about how you can focus and dedicate to the process of peaceful growth rather than making a peaceful growth as a goal in your life. So that's something that to think about. Really appreciate everything you did for today. And with that, let's sign off.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much for listening to Peaceful Growth. Sign up for my newsletter, Learn and Grow, on anilg.substack.com to get more personal growth and work-life balance tips delivered to your inbox weekly. Also, check out the show notes of this episode to get access to all the resources mentioned during this interview. May the peace and growth be with you.